The words of God given to us today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Please turn to page 95 of the New Testament. It's Luke 5, 1 to 11. Allow me to read the words. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people are crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Amen. The Lord, who was with God through the times he spent alone, did not forget the reason and the purpose he came down to this earth. It was for God's kingdom. He came because of the kingdom of God, and the purpose he lived on this earth was the kingdom of God as well. As such, the clear sense of purpose in life and ministry had become the motive to spontaneously separate himself from those who stopped him, and the momentum for the Lord to set his foot on the road where he should be, the road of proof of gospel in God's kingdom. Eventually, chapter 4 in the book of Luke ends with the Lord proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God in various synagogues in Galilee after getting out of the town of Capernaum in Galilee. Today's passage is a scene when the Lord meets his companions, in other words, his disciples who will be working with him as he was just about to start his full-fledged ministry on spreading the gospel. I would like for us to meditate on what sort of attitude we should recover in order to live as true disciples, as those who have been called as the Lord's disciples of this era, by looking into this procedure. First, let's look into verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Today's passage tells us about this one day in which several days have passed after Jesus had spread about the gospel in several Jewish synagogues. Even though time had passed for quite some time, people's interest and response toward Jesus did not fade away. This was probably also due to the fact that he had performed miracles that they had never seen before, but also because of his authoritative teachings, which they had never experienced before, that touched deep inside their souls. In that particular atmosphere, Jesus in today's passage was once again spreading the words of God at the Lake of Gennesaret. Just for your reference, the Lake of Gennesaret is an alternative name of the Lake of Galilee. Just as expected, with no exception, People flooded out to gather around Jesus again in today's passage. It so happened that there were two boats by the lake, and the fishermen were out of the boats to wash their nets. Jesus, who was watching this, went over and got into one of the boats, and it was Simon's. Jesus made him to put out the boat a little from the shore, and then sat down on it to teach the crowd, because this was more effective in spreading the words. After he was done with the preaching, Jesus gives an order to Simon. Let's read verse 4 of today's passage. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Paulo, the original form of the Greek word ephsalto, which is equivalent to the verb finished, means to stop what one was doing during the task. In other words, Jesus did not finish his sermon to the crowd and then ordered Simon, but he stopped his teaching in the middle of the sermon and gave order to him. Jesus must have had his own plan. In the meantime, Jesus gave out two orders to Simon. The first was, "Put out into deep water," and the second was, "Let down the nets." In the original form, the verb "put out" is in a singular form. We can see that Jesus must have had Simon in mind. The other boat on the lake was the boat that belonged to James and John, the sons of Salome, who will be soon to be Jesus' aunt from the mother's side. In other words, Jesus rejected his cousin's boat and instead went on Simon's boat. From this, we can learn that Jesus' plan was directly connected to Simon. But to Simon, who had no idea about Jesus' plan, Jesus' orders just sounded too much to ask for. First, Simon was already done with his work. He was already worn out. Second, the day was already brightening, which made it not such a great time to go fishing. At the time, nets were made out of fine linens, which were very visible in bright daylight, which helped the fish to get away. And so the fishermen all caught fish during dark hours from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Thirdly, it was one of those losing day for Simon when even a skilled fisherman like him could not catch even one fish all night long. It was such an absurd order based on his experiences. Plus, Jesus was not even a fisherman, but a carpenter. Simon's response towards such Jesus' orders is recorded in verses 5 and 6. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. But Simon went out to the deeper water, like Jesus told him to, and then cast the net down with faith. Then he caught so many fishes as to break the net. He caught so many that it is written in verse 7 that when they started filling both boats so full that they began to sink. This was the result of putting out to deep water and let the nets down in faith, only depending on the Lord's words that transcended their experiences and common senses. As such, this man whom Jesus took in as his disciple was a man who put out to deep water and let the nets down in faith by depending only on God's words. Jesus makes and uses someone who let the net down in deep water in faith, following after the gospel as his disciple, not someone who held onto his or her own experience, common sense, and knowledge. There is this man named Noah, whom we all know very well. Noah is someone from the Old Testament in Genesis days, who let the net down in deep waters in faith, counting on the gospel, so to speak. Noah starts to build an ark according to God's warning of flood, an order to build the ark. The ark was 300 cubits in length, 50 cubits in width, 30 cubits in height. To compare this with something from these days, it is longer than in length and slightly narrower than an international standard soccer field, and it had to be constructed in three stories. A life-sized ark was created as a theme park in the U.S. recently, and it took about 6 years to build a mock-up ark, even with all those modern technologies. That was how enormously huge the ark was. Noah gave birth to three sons after he turned 500 years. The flood occurred when he was 600. It would have taken him at least 70 or more years to build the ship, even if we suppose that all three sons grew up and they got married and all of them joined in the construction. Noah, who had to get up every day to go out and build the ark, must have felt like letting the net down in the deep waters each time. And yet, he did not stop letting the net down in his life. Although it seemed like letting the net down was reckless, meaningless, and even empty, but inside God's words, in the faith towards God, Noah found its meaning and set out to the deeper water to let the net down. And eventually, God recreated a new world through such Noah. Moses, whom we know very well of, was also another man who let the net down in deep waters in faith, relying on the gospel. God tells Moses to go up to the Pharaoh of Egypt to deliver his order to have the people of Israel get out of Egypt. But at the time, Moses was only a fugitive shepherd who looked after the sheep in a field. And yet, Moses goes up to the Pharaoh, as God had told him to. He went to the deep waters to let the net down. Once, twice, thrice. There isn't a change in the ruthless heart of the Pharaoh. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Moses set out to the deeper water once again, even though it seems natural to show doubts. And he let the net down again. Finally, after 10 times of letting the net down, the Israelites were able to feel the joy of Exodus. And the new history of Israel, no, the history of God, was newly rolled out. As such, God achieves forms of history through God, people who let the net down in deep water in faith, relying on God's words. Jesus' choice of Simon as his disciple was also to unfold the ministry of gospel from the kingdom of God by using Simon with such faith as his pathway. So the first attitude we need to recover as those who received callings as the Lord's disciples is to let the net down in deep waters in faith according to the gospel, transcending all our experiences, common senses, and judgments. That is when our lives can experience the grace of being used properly as the Lord's disciples, tasting the plentiful harvest within the Lord's arm that are never too short, rather than living lives of empty netting, even after all the hard works that we do. But then, after all these, Simon reacts in a very strange way which we can't quite understand. Let's read verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He all of a sudden knelt down before Jesus and confessed, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Of course, as explained in verse 9, he must have been really surprised by the enormous amount of fish he caught. But this still does not explain quite surely as to why Simon reacted that way. We can learn the answer by understanding the lives and the ways of thinking of the fishermen at the time. Regardless of time, the lives of the fishermen were in an inseparable relationship with the gods that controlled water. Because the ocean environment was so unpredictable, each nation naturally worshipped a god as a controller of the sea. For example, the Greek god of sea was Poseidon, and Roman sea god was Neptune. Israel also had a sea god named Yam in the biblical times. The sea god Yam was such a familiar being to the fishermen of Israel, so much as that the name Yam later turned into a word that meant sea. In fact, the miracle which Simon experienced was something he could not believe at all, even for someone who has lived as a fisherman for several decades. Not even during the night, but during a bright daylight, in the deep water, where there weren't any fish around on that day, when even the most skilled fishermen failed to catch any fish. It must have been very hard for him to believe such sight. How is this possible? Could it be that he is the God himself? Simon perceived Jesus as a godlike being. So at the same time, he knelt before Jesus without hesitation. Also, the way he called Jesus changed from Master to Lord. And he shows his genuine and humble attitude of begging the Lord to stay away from him, his sinful self. As you can see, the Lord calls on humble people who knows to kneel down before him in awe of the Lord, to be his disciple. At the time, Jesus conducted several miracles before many different people. He showed his ability of healing the sick, suffering from serious diseases, and driving away the evil spirits. But people went wild over the result, and did not show much interest in who Jesus was. They just tried to use Jesus as a tool to achieve what they wanted. The first king of Israel, Saul, whom we know very well of, he was a humble man as to hide behind the sacks when God tried to make him king through Samuel, the prophet. King Solomon, who led the most prime time of Israel, called himself a small child, and showed humbleness before God. The most representative figure in the New Testament era, Paul, was a man who thoroughly lived his life in awe of God. Although he had persecuted Christians due to his wrongful ardency, he lived his rest of his life as a true disciple, spreading the gospel of the kingdom of God more than anyone. His confession of his last years in life is written in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Sinners, of whom I am the worst. This means that he is the head of sinners. Paul went through all sorts of hardships for the gospel and the kingdom of God. He was confined in prison, beat up numerous times, and as if this wasn't enough, he was stoned. He nearly died several times, could not sleep, was in rags, and was starved. In other words, his life and ministry were a variety package of hardships. He tried so hard for the kingdom of the Lord and the gospel, and yet he confesses that he is the head of the sinners. Just like Simon confessed, he called himself a sinner. Paul never lost his humbleness before the Lord, as you can see, which was why the Lord called upon him to be the vessel for the foreigners as his disciple. This is the second figure attitude we need to recover as those called upon to be Lord's disciples in this era. Now, Jesus speaks to humble Simon. The latter half of verse 10 in today's passage. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Jesus tells Simon that you will fish for people. He told Simon that he will be the passage or the pathway in saving people's spirits with the gospel. The response of the people around Simon and him, Jesus, is written in verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. The same time Jesus said so, Simon, along with James and John, pulled the boats up on the shore, left everything and followed Jesus. What's important here is the spontaneousness of Simon. Jesus did not tell him to follow him. He just told him that he will be that Simon will be living as the passage to save people's souls. And Simon chooses to become the Lord's disciple. This is a prayer by the best evangelist from the 19th century, D.L. Moody, called "Use Me." My Lord, whatever the purpose, whatever the means, use me when you need me. Here is my poor heart, empty as an empty bowl, so fill it with your grace. Here is my sinful and wounded soul, so revive and renew me with your love. Lead my heart to where you are, and let me spread the glory of your name with mine lips. My love and all my powers exist for the sake of advances of those who believe in you, but the pain that makes me abandon the solidity and the assurance of my faith I will never take. So when my heart says, Jesus needs me, I belong to him, is only when it will be possible. Use me when you need me. The evangelist D.L. Moody had such spontaneity, which is why the Lord took him in as a disciple and used him. Prophet Isaiah, he also confessed as below in chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. Over this such voluntary and spontaneous attitude, God made him the prophet who records the most perfect prophecy of Jesus coming to this earth. The last attitude we need to recover is that, Lord, we are yours. Use us when you need to. There were two types of groups that followed Jesus at the time. One group was the disciples and the other group, the crowd. The crowd only set foot partially and try to catch a big fish using the ability of the Lord. The crowd seemed on the outside that as if they were worshipping Jesus as their Lord. As David's descendants. But in fact, they made up their own image of Christ and tried to live up to their desires through Jesus. Back in 1600s, after the Reformation, religious Reformation, 100 years after the Reformation, the European church and the religion was turning bad. Pastor Joanne Arndt at the time said, "There are so many people who call themselves the disciples of the Christ, but there aren't so many who walk in the path of the Christ." It's hard to see disciples acting, putting out into the deep water and letting down the nets. There are many who insist on reformation, but do not kneel before the Lord. The Lord sat on Simon's boat intentionally. It was to make Simon his disciple. Jesus is in our boats already. It is to make us his disciples and to reform this earth into his kingdom. My dear beloved fellows, let us put down the fake religion of trying to catch fish easily. Let us kneel down before the Lord and spontaneously seek after the Lord's path. Let us live as true disciples who let everything down before us and kneel down before the Lord to walk on the path of the Lord spontaneously. That will help the poor souls who have been emptily netting all night long to abandon their old lives and sit on our boats to reform. Let us pray. Although many people say that they are disciples of Christ, it is difficult to find a true disciple nowadays. Reformation has become a mere moment to be commemorated as a historical event. In such era, our Lord has called us to be disciples of the Christ. Dear Lord, help us to get rid of our superficial faith, trying to catch many fish in shallow waters. Instead, let us delve into your words and live as true disciples, throwing our nets in the deep waters with faith in you. Forgive us for not only shaking your throne, but even taking your place. Please restore our spirit of humility to kneel down before you. Let us not be in the crowd of people who follow Jesus to get one more thing, but become true disciples who willingly sacrifice and devote themselves for your kingdom. Dear Lord, our country is in the midst of so much confusion and difficulties. Please have mercy on this country, and may we overcome this time of difficulty in peace with your guidance. With your grace, please use the current situation to reestablish our country to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.